Precious blood of His peace. be what I was born to be.
Proceed with the word that God has been giving us. We are talking about the war in the soul, and this battle all of us are fighting, our children are fighting, we are fighting for our lives at this time, but we have the equipment to win. Amen.
Amen.
We can't withdraw while we are winning. Amen. It's a very foolish person who wants to quit a battle when he's winning. So, praise be to God. The little song says we are on the winning side. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. And in the first chapter, I want to show you something. The church teaches that Jesus Christ is coming in the air, and that we will see him coming in the air, and that is the way they teach the coming of Jesus, that we will be caught up to meet him in the air, in the atmosphere. There's only one problem about with that, is that the scriptures, the same scripture said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means we would be always in the air. If it's the natural air. But the word air in scripture has two meanings. It means, one means atmosphere, and the other meaning is a spiritual realm where Satan rules. So that the scripture says that in Colossians that he's a prince of the power of the air. When the men went up in the space shuttle, they went to the moon, and there was no air up there. But the devil was still there. So we know that you cannot escape from the devil by taking the space shuttle. Amen. And then somebody says, show me a scripture. Show me one scripture that tells you that Jesus is coming somewhere else than this natural air. I mentioned one and I'll read one. The first one I'll mention is in the Word of God says that the messenger of the covenant will come and in his temple.
Malachi.
We won't bother to read that. In his temple. But I want you to read 2 Thessalonians. Because the same person who wrote in the fourth chapter, the same letter, you know, well, to the same people, he wrote that we will meet the Lord in the air. He wrote also 2 Thessalonians, the second letter. And in the first chapter, we read, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So we realize that then he's coming in his saints. Now, if we are the temple of the living God, God must first come in his temple. I didn't say God is not coming. Jesus is not coming down here. He is. But we must be concerned about this temple and the coming of Jesus in this temple. For if Jesus doesn't come in this temple, he's not coming outside there. You see, so Jesus is coming first in the temple of our body, the temple of the body of Christ. Amen. Now, we look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, chapter 1, he says he's coming in his saints to be glorified and admired. But in chapter 2 now, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's teaching in the reverse now. Amen. Don't worry about the day of Christ being now. He's saying something else. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apostasy.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, it's translated in the King James, which is the best translation we have. It's translated falling away. Now, a falling away is not an apostasy. A falling away is something through weakness. It comes about, you fall because you're weak or because you stumble. It's weakness. One brother got up this morning and said we should pray for those brothers who are falling from grace. Yes, we pray for them. You can't pray for an apostate.
Amen.
He said, apostasy is rebellion.
Yes, it's a rebellion.
And it means that a rebellion is coming. At least from Paul's point of view, it's coming. Now we say it's come. We are in the middle of the rebellion of the church against Christ. What? Brother says, are you saying that the churches that are worshiping Christ, such beautiful rock music and everything else, dancing before God, that they have rebelled against Christ? I say yes, and I'll prove it to you. Because the rebellion against Christ starts with, come on now, ready for a shock. It starts with the pastor.
Yes, that's right.
You know why it starts with the pastor? Because God set up a divine order. God himself set up a divine order by which the church should survive, persist, consist, and live in God. And the order was changed. The Bible was written before the Catholic Church came to being. But the Catholic Church instituted an hierarchy. And the hierarchical setup was contrary, diametrically opposite to what God said. Yeah. Let me read it for you. Turn with me. Keep a finger into Thessalonians. Let me put a piece of paper in there. I can find it back easily. And turn with me to Matthew.
24?
No. We are going to talk about Matthew 20. Not 24. Matthew 20. And we have the same spirit attacking the brethren. Remember, in Matthew 20, the brethren were not yet saved. They were not yet saved. And Jesus was teaching them. He said here, all right. We look at them, then verse 20. Matthew 20. Verse 20. Yeah. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and declaring a certain thing, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy kingdom. She has no understanding of what the kingdom of God is. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. Big talk. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. All right, now. He's going to explain something to them, to us now. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Why? Jealousy. Everybody wants a position. Now, if we're talking about a kingdom, it's a political situation now. We want to be
the vice president, and this one want to be so and so, and we want to be vicar. Vicar. That sounds familiar to you?
Yeah.
Vicarius filii Dei. Does that sound familiar? Vicar of the Son of God. Aha! Praise be to God. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible wasn't written in Latin. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And, but, verse 23, but Jesus called them unto him, said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Now, if you have minister there, just put a line through it and put servant. I'm translating the Greek, says servant. See, diakonon. And that servant, diakonon, is not minister. Minister is Latin. Minister is Latin. And that word minister in the Latin was changed by the church to be a high position. For when you, in the ordinary speaking in the Latin, they would say minister, that's the person who swept the floor.
Yeah.
That's a servant who served the tables. Right? But now the Catholic Church brought it in and they turned the word minister to be a mighty position with the collar on. He is the boss. When you come into a congregation and you see a man with a collar on, you know he is the boss. You see, hallelujah. I wonder what would happen if all the men in the church started dressing with a collar and come into church. I think they would turn them out. You know, that we should do that sometime. 10-20 of us go into a congregation with a collar. Everybody come. Reverend so-and-so. Reverend, you know.
Jake's place, brother.
Hallelujah. Poor fella. When I got into the Church of God, I strayed from the understanding of what God was saying to me. And I went to the Church of God. Amen. Because they seemed to me to be nearest to what God was doing here at the time, you know, many years ago now. And they ordained me. And after they ordained me, I said, well, so what is this? They said, now you are now Reverend Cecil DeSille. So I went down to the print shop and I got me some cards. Since that day, I haven't had a card. I don't think my wife ever seen a card with my name on it. See, I went down to the print shop, got this pack of cards. Reverend Cecil J. DeSille, a big fellow now. And I took it home. So I'm praying before God. And he said, what is that? No, if God ever asks you what is that, Reverend, you're in trouble. Because he knows exactly what it is. So, if he ever asks you, when he said, what is that? I said, well, you know, I am now reverend because they have ordained me. Uh-huh. He said, did you ever look up the word reverend? I said, oh, God. rush to my concordance. And I was shocked. You know what it is? You don't have it. When you get out of here, check it in your concordance. The word is referred to one time in Scripture. Amen. And the only one time they call that word reverend, and it is Yahweh. God. That's what it says. So you go to take a title named God. So when you say to a man, reverend, you're calling him God. I said, no, sir. And I mean, I don't know where those cards went. But I got away from that thing. So all this reverend business, it is ignorant, spiritually ignorant people. I'm sorry to say so, because there are some nice fellows out there who have this reverend business. But I'm wondering what's wrong with them. How could God tell me as a young man in Christ, just coming into this thing, I don't know anything about church, and just coming into this thing, and God would tell me that, and all these big mighty men preaching so many years, and they don't know that. Oh, it is an affront to God. Oh, it is an affront to God. Reverent should not be used for a human person. Amen. If you holy and reverent is his name. God Almighty, not man. So it is the position, the exaltation, the mighty, wonderful position of being reverent so and so. You are immediately, you are exalted over the Christians.
Amen.
Huh? That means to say now God has two different classes of Christian.
Amen.
One that is a reverent, holy class. And the other one, somebody call you holy. But the Catholic Church went further. They call them Holy Father. Holy Father. Jesus said, call no man father. It doesn't mean you mustn't call your daddy father. That's not what he meant. So we have to divide the word of truth.
Yes.
You know, Holy Father, it's an affront to God. How can you call a man Holy Father? No man is holy. Holy mean perfect. Now, the Holy Bible, yes, for sure. It's perfect word of God. But Holy Father, no, no, no. So Jesus Christ said to them, it shall not be so among you. In the world, men have dominion. Now, I was hearing T.J. Jakes calling his kingdom. There's a little contention over it. Some of the other people, he was talking about his church and he referred to it as his kingdom.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's not wrong in a sense. Because he is the king of that domain. Dominus means Lord. And he is the king of that place. And that's how you get the word kingdom. Amen. He is the head and the king. And every little church, the pastor is the head. The whole thing has been set up by Rome. I'll show it to you. Whole thing set up. It's a set up by Rome. God said, let's look at Ephesians. Keep another finger I don't know how many fingers you're going to have here, but put another finger. I am putting paper. And run, let us run to Ephesians. And it is chapter 4. Yes. And it says here again, Paul writing to the church. And brethren, these are not the words of a man. Some of you have a feeling that Paul did this and Paul said that. Paul did not write down his own thoughts. I struggle against my own thoughts. I pray to God, help me not to minister to God's people my own thoughts. Amen. My thoughts are not, I mean, it's not good for you. I want Jesus Christ thinking. I want to be able to come to you and say, Jesus told me this, and Jesus told me that. And so the Paul, in speaking to the Ephesian church, he wrote verse chapter 4, and we touch on verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You must always fight to keep the unity of spirit. If you know that telling your brother something might hurt him, might disturb him, might cut, don't tell him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Don't tell him.
Amen.
You must always work to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Now, all right, he said that there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Can you understand then, how can we have so many different denominations, so many different churches, so many different groups? Some church you go in there, you couldn't go in there and have a freedom in Christ. You couldn't get up and say, thus saith the Lord, so and so. You'd be carted out. Amen.
Right.
What is wrong? It's not the one body you are dealing with. The one body has a head, and the head is Christ. Amen. Beloved, believe it. That the head of the body is Jesus Christ himself. And wherever you go that Christ reigns, you have a right. You are part of that body. And Christ will express himself through you.
Amen.
Even by your silence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 And I tell you that the church is full of wickedness, full of fornication, full of sorcery, because when you talk about psychology, you're talking about sorcery.
Amen.
Oh yes, using your mind to affect and control the mind of another person is sorcery.
Amen.
Amen. So most of the preachers who preach by psychology, I stand up and watch the man. Watch them. Sometimes I watch them just turn on the television to watch them. And he carries on and he makes certain moves and he carries on. He is attracting you. He's keeping your mind concentrated upon him.
Yes.
And when he grabs a hold of your mind, then he begins to tell you of anything, and the people will believe anything because they are mesmerized.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
God Almighty said in his word that Eve didn't sin because she was wicked. She knew no wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
She was a holy creature without sin, knew no wickedness, but she was mesmerized, mesmerized to eat a fruit, to go to a tree that God told her not to go to. Amen. She was mesmerized, and God stood one side and watched it happen. And he blinded the eyes of Adam that he couldn't see it, because the devil couldn't approach Adam. All right, I just dropped that in there for the moment. Now, hallelujah, yeah. You're going to stay all night, brother. Amen. Now, let's run down to the verses we want. Verse 11. And he, God, remember now, one body, one faith, one baptism, one ministry.
Yeah.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some, what do you have in your Bible? All of a sudden, in the fivefold ministry, they drop in a Latin word. Come on now. Yes. Let me tell you something. It's all over your Bible. You have to see it, you know. Where man put in a word here. I was reading Isaiah chapter 28. How was it? Isaiah chapter 14. I was reading Isaiah chapter 14. And all of a sudden, I come to verse 12. And it says something about how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. That word Lucifer never existed when Isaiah wrote that passage.
Amen.
Lucifer is Latin. The word Lucifer never existed. How could Isaiah have written Lucifer when there was no such word?
Amen.
And I said, my God, what is this? God said, go look it up. So I go look on the Hebrew. And the Hebrew said, H-L-L. 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 You know, the Hebrew doesn't bother with those vowels, you know. Just leave it to you. But how art thou fallen from heaven, O Hillel? It was changed. Now here we find that right in this passage here, it's changed. They changed the word from pomene, which is shepherd, reference to sheep, shepherd. And so part of God's function in the church is that he puts in a shepherd ministry. And of these five ministries that he has, apostle, look here. God made you a temple of the living God, right?
Hallelujah.
And in the temple is written the whole of God's word.
Amen.
Look at your hands.
Amen.
Five hands. Five fingers. Amen.
Four fingers.
Hallelujah.
Hmm?
And a thumb. Four fingers. And a thumb.
Can you prove that to me, brother? I know that I read that we have five fingers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll learn from you. I'll go look it up. And if I only have four fingers, then I will stop saying five fingers. But I know I have a thumb. Hallelujah. Now, this here is a symbol of God. Mark in the temple that if you look on your own body, you can find the old gospel of Jesus Christ written in your body.
Amen.
Because you are a temple of the living God. Could you sit and wait? It looks like you have two ministries. Because you have right hand and left hand. No, sir. You don't have two ministries. We are the left hand of God. The body of Christ is the left hand of God. The spirit is the right hand. They work together. Amen. Now, the five ministries, apostle, what or who is an apostle? Just go to your Bible. Jesus called 12 apostles. Jesus called 12 men, said, come, follow me. You follow me. Mm-hmm. When he called them, one thing was important about each man, except one. Each man that God called, he left what he was doing. His profession was finished right there. Amen. He left fishing. He left the receipt of customs. He left, every one of them left their profession, except one, and his name was Judas. He was a zealot. He never changed from being a zealot. I mean, a rebel. He had a gang. You see, he had a gang and he never gave up his gang, but he went with the Lord. So, therefore, an apostle is one called, commissioned, and sent. Now, don't forget that. And any man that God sent cannot do his own business, say his own thing, have his own church. Amen. He cannot be a pastor of a church. He cannot be a big shot. He cannot have dominion over the people. He has to do what Jesus wants him to do. That's the apostle. Now, the prophet. The prophet. The scripture says that the spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. You remember that scripture? That means to say the man who is a prophet, he is also tried. You don't get up to be a prophet overnight. God start telling you things and you just start going and prophesying to him. No, 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 no. You have a place in the body of Christ. Your prophecy is directed to building up the body of Christ. Amen. Your prophecy cannot be a wild prophecy. You have some wild prophets. Let go loose all over the place prophesying life and death to people. I do not believe in a wild prophet. Don't you listen to them. Come on now, be with me now. This is attached to a body. Your finger cut off, let loose out there. If it is even alive, it has no power. Because there's no body behind it. The prophet must be one that strengthens the body of Christ. Therefore, you cannot have a denominational prophet. If the man is attached to a denomination, that he prophesies to that denomination, he has a spirit of divination. Whoa. Because the spirit of divination is the opposite of a spirit of prophecy. But the spirit of divination will always try to imitate God. And I'm telling you, you are not smart enough. You are not smart enough in your own mind to discover that spirit. But the only way you can discover that spirit is to have the true spirit of God. Amen. Yes? Be equipped with the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As soon as you start walk in truth, God Almighty will help you. I remember one time, long ago now, there was a man in, I think he's in Tulsa here. What's his name? His name was A.A. Allen. Some of you older fellows might know him. Oh, I'm talking about A. Allen. I happened to work with him sometime. And he would do some wonderful things. Power. Real powerful things. Hallelujah. And one day, a little sister down in the back of the church went up to him privately. Said, "Brother Allen, I have a word from God for you. You have a word from God for me? God leave me to talk to and go tell you to give you a message for me?" He said, "I don't want to hear a word from you." You would think that the little sister would have been floored, eh? This big mighty man who do all kind of wonderful things, a madman come in chains and he just, speak the word and deliver him and so on and so on. And he felt pretty powerful. I happen to know the man. He felt pretty wonderful about himself and pretty sure. A man, he described himself as man of faith and power. Here comes God, man of faith and power. A.A. Allen. Praise God. Little sister, move off from him. Went some way down the aisle and cried out, "Whether you want to hear or whether you want to forbear, God Almighty says to tell you, if you don't repent, you are going to die." Get her out of here. That didn't stop it. Ali never repented. I was driving in a car with him, taking him to meeting, and somehow my spirit was against him. And he jumped out of the car while we were moving in traffic and ran and jumped in a taxi. I don't know. That night he went there and did great wonders. So I'm telling you, we can be deceived sometimes. But the God uses the people. You see that prophetic ministry? Mm-hmm. When the prophet ministers, the people become prophets. I mean, let me put it better. The prophetic ministry is different from prophesying. Amen? The scriptures speak of the two daughters of Philip who prophesied. And it speaks of Agabus, the prophet. You see, so it was like a man appointed, anointed, ordained as a prophet, and the Spirit of Christ fall upon him as a prophet. That is his calling. He is part of the fivefold ministry ordained by God to bear the church up, to keep the church moving thick and thin through hard times and through trouble. All right. But branching off from him, hundreds and thousands of people who have the prophetic word. Amen. You dream a dream. You hear a voice. You should be able to be in a body where you can say, brethren, I heard so and so, or I saw so and so. And it would save a lot of people's lives. Amen. if we were able to see, because the Holy Ghost is a spirit that makes you see. Amen. You see things to come. Amen. All right. That's the prophecy. Then you have the evangelist. God appointed evangelist. You cannot do anything else. You are evangelizing whether you're sleeping or waking. Wherever you are evangelizing. You see people dying, going to hell. It burns your heart. You go home and cry over them. And God Almighty intervene in their lives, save them, because you're a church, a living church, full of the power of evangelism. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The next one now is the should I call it? It's not pastor. It is shepherd. You know, it is so marvelous. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd.
Amen.
The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He never said he was a pastor. Of course, he wouldn't have said that. But Jesus is saying that then you have the teacher. The teacher. Now, if God call you as a prophet, should you be teaching? Any of you here knew Kenneth Hagin? All right. You knew his life story. He was a cripple on the bed, couldn't walk, couldn't move. God touched him one day. He jumped right up and walked into the living room with his parents. They were frightened. God gave him a ministry. God said to him, you are a prophet. It's an awesome thing. You have just lost your profession, brother. You have just lost the ability to make money, brother. You have just lost the ability to make a good offering. Eh? If God said you're a prophet, you're done for. You are done for, brother. Because God Almighty called you like he called Matthew from the seat of customs and said, follow me. Mm-hmm. Matthew dropped everything. I don't know what happened, what the government did with him. But the Bible said he left and went after Jesus. Amen. Now, Brother Hagin, now I'm telling you what Brother Hagin wrote in Brother Hagin's book. Right? Since I didn't know him. And he wrote in his book, this is life story, it is first testimony. I don't know if in these last days some of you ever seen that book. But the first book he wrote was the book of his testimony. And he said that God called him and he went out there and he is a prophet. Now, you're a prophet to who? You're going to go to the Baptist church to prophesy? Are you going to go into the Catholic church and prophesy? Huh? Hallelujah. You better find the body of Christ. If God calls you as a prophet, it means that there's an apostle somewhere. He means that there, you know what I mean, I'm saying. Yes, brother. Please?
They work together.
Yes, they have to work together. So therefore, because look here.
Amen.
You know, I can take up anything. I can take up anything with these two fingers. Now, let me take it up with these two. Huh? That's pretty awkward, eh?
Doesn't work.
Let me try these two. This one. While the thumb is there, you can pick up anything. That means to say, no church will function without the apostolic ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And whether you believe it or not, you are following an apostolic word. When the men like Darby and those write about the rapture, and you start following that, your whole life is gauged towards Jesus coming in the air and lifting you up in the air. And I heard one Baptist man preach. He said if he's in the bed of fornication and Jesus is coming, he will leave the bed of fornication and go straight up in the air to heaven. God, by the time he get there, he'll be clean. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. I was listening to a Seventh-day Adventist man, and he said, oh, never bother about it, because it's going to take 7 years to go to heaven in any way. It's going to take him 7 days to get to heaven, and he'll be cleansed by the time he get there. And there must be a Sabbath. So it must, and every Sabbath you get clean. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. Yeah. These men have degrees, you know. Some of them have doctorates and all kinds of degrees. And yet they have no sense. No spiritual sense at all. Hallelujah. Now, no man can appoint an apostle.
Amen.
No man can appoint a prophet.
Amen.
No man can appoint an evangelist. But we heard them appointing evangelists and sending them out. I remember that, you know, Brother Robert said he was going to send out so many evangelists from his evangelist doctors. He wanted $8 million. Oh, you remember that? When he got the $8 million from the dog trap? Am I talking tales out of school, brother? Oh, is this a well-known business? Just to send out evangelists. You cannot appoint an evangelist. God has to appoint the man or the woman evangelist. Put it in their souls.
Amen.
And then you can't stop them.
Amen.
All the church can do is go behind them.
Amen.
Evangelist. Shepherd. Oh God. Can you give a man the heart of a shepherd?
No.
Oh, yes. You can't. To seek the sheep. To go after. He said, through the night, no darkness stop you.
Amen.
No storm stop you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nothing stop you. Because your heart is crying for the dying people around you. Hallelujah. Your neighbors get to know you because you're a shepherd. You have the ministry of a shepherd. Hallelujah. He said, the good shepherd. Eh? The good shepherd seek for his sheep. Amen. You know, the story is told in the Bible of the lost coin. Huh? The lost sheep and the lost son. Three different types. Three different types of lost people. That, who was seeking for them? The woman, but she had a broom and she had a light. And she would sweep the floor. And when the coin went cling, she would put the light. And she would find the coin. The broom is the Holy Ghost. Amen? The light is Christ. The woman is the church. So God has set in his church those who would seek. But the lost sheep, you have to have a shepherd.
Amen.
The shepherd have to go find his sheep. No sheep will ever come back home. The nature of a sheep is to go, stray. In the church, there is a sheep people, type of person who can't help himself. he get lost. You have to go look after him. Jesus set people in the church who seek out the sheep. And how many of us come to Jesus because some shepherd sought us? Amen. So therefore the spirit of the shepherd is in the church, and God anoints the people in the church, the pastorate. Huh? They call it pastor. But pastor, it should not be pastor, it should be shepherd. You know why? Because the spirit of the person is not the spirit of a pastor.
Amen.
A pastor rules a church.
Yes.
A shepherd seek for sheep.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the teacher. Now I come back to Brother Hagin. And I tell you the story he wrote in the book. He said that one night he was preaching after God told him that he has appointed him as a prophet. He was preaching on a platform, a high platform, and he fell off the platform. Anybody else here knows that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
He fell off the platform and broke his hand. Now, it's a very shameful thing for a minister to be preaching and fall down off a platform. And so he was in the hospital, and he was just ruining his condition. And when he looked around, there was Jesus looking at him. He said, "My God, why did you do this to me?" Jesus said, "I told you that I appointed you as a prophet. You should not be teaching." Well, I cut a long story short. The same man who wrote that in his book, he opened a school. Oh God, have mercy upon us. He opened a school and he lost the ability to minister to the body of Christ as a prophet. We lost a prophet.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But the school is still going on. And out of that school came the evil doctrines.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Name it and claim it. I won't go any further. But it's something for us to weep over.
Amen, amen, yes.
Our people have been destroyed by disobedient men. Mm-hmm. Men who God called.
Amen.
God did
amen.
Call him.
Amen.
Call him to the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
But here it is. We are talking about the fivefold ministry, but on the other side, the people who did it to us were the Roman Catholic Church. Because they were the people who put up a pope. Pope. Papa. The very word that God said, "Don't you call anybody that." They put up a papa. And the papa or the father. Under him were cardinals and whatever, bishops and everything, coming right down to the little nun, poor woman. And some of them are innocent. Some of these little young people, nuns, they are innocent people. They love God and they want to serve God, and they believe that's the way to serve God. Lord God Almighty, have mercy upon them. I pray right now tonight that God Almighty would reach out into the Catholic convents and deliver some of those prisoners, Lord God, out of the bondage.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
So they broke the covenant with God. They broke God's divine order. And everything went down. everything went down. We did not see divine order again in the church. Can you imagine? Darkness came down. We call it the Dark Ages. And then God, you know, the scripture tells us of the flying scroll that went into the house of the thief, and that it destroyed the house, and the beams, the wooden beams, were destroyed, and the house of the thief was destroyed, and it will finally bring the house to a destruction, final destruction. We'll talk about that at another time, but let me tell you what has happened. The thief took the word of God. If you remember Brother Paul, he warned the brethren and said, remember the scrolls. When they begin to persecute the church, what they were after is the scrolls. The Bible, it was in rolls at that time that Paul had. And they took it and they hid it down in a vault down in the basement of the Vatican. Amen. And God touched a man. He didn't go there for that. But he just wanted to read the Bible. And he was allowed to go down into the vault of the Vatican. And he read the Bible. Justified by faith, they have peace with God. And he got out. Martin Luther. But you see, the spirit that God put in him was a fighting spirit. A spirit of a man that would challenge a whole church, the mighty Catholic Church. Well, he did that. And you know the story, how he won. But he had to go in hiding. And the peculiar thing is that he was defended by the arms and the power of the princes of Germany. Amen. And they defended him. It would be civil war if they tried to touch Martin Luther. So therefore the Catholic Church pulled back. And Luther never changed from being a Catholic. Isn't that funny? So therefore, while he was in hiding, the people began to read this Bible. And all of a sudden, somebody found out that baptism was the next step after salvation. Baptism means death. Death to self. Covenant. I know most of you here, some of you, I shouldn't say most, I don't know where that comes from, maybe possible, that is right. Most of you are not baptized. Because baptism is a covenant with Christ that you'll follow him through death, through burial, and through resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. And to explain to you why I said most of you are not baptized, a young Christian talking with Jesus every day and don't know anything else, don't know any church, don't know anything. And Jesus said to me one day, you need to be baptized. I said, oh yes, Lord. Yes, good, thank you. I know a good Baptist church down the road. And so, the Missionary Alliance Church, I heard that they were having a baptism that weekend. So man, I got on the bus and got there into this baptism, got my name in, and they baptized me. And I came up back feeling good. Jesus, you said it, and I've done it. So I went back to meet Jesus the next meeting. And as I stepped into the door, I said, Jesus, he said, you need to be baptized. Said, what? So baptism is not going under the water and coming up. No. It's a covenant that you make with Jesus. Amen. That you will go the whole way with him.
Amen.
See, death, burial, resurrection. And anybody who is baptized in water, hear this one now, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And anybody who is baptized in the Holy Ghost and walk with the Holy Ghost, you'll be baptized into Christ.
Amen.
I'm sure some of you didn't know there are three baptisms. When you are baptized in water, Paul asked them the question, unto what? Unto what were you baptized? What was the idea behind it? Where were you going? What is at the end of it? Hallelujah. The end of baptism is baptism into Christ.
Amen.
That even as you went into the water, so shall I be buried into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus, in the last prayer, he said that they may be one in us. I and the Father, and they in me. Amen. So God Almighty, I'm not going to take too long. God Almighty has set it for you, when you're baptized into water, your intention is that you should be baptized into Christ. The Holy Ghost is the only person who can baptize you into Christ, because no man can do it. So a man baptized you into water. The Holy Ghost, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost by Christ. And the Holy Ghost baptized you into Christ.
Amen.
And buried with him. Amen. Newness of life. And the life is Christ's life. Okay. Let me see if I can come round up this thing to a place where you can sleep well tonight. Praise be to God. So the divine order of God is broken in the church. Every church must have an apostolic vision which they follow. You know, every church must not have an apostle. God creates apostles for different ages, for different times. He calls men and tell them directly what he's doing, where he's going, and they let it loose to the body, and the body ministers it. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus called me, he said, I am giving you raw food for the household. And I carried this food and finally got to the household. I tried to deliver it to three different houses. Exactly what happened in actual life. And finally, when I got to the household of God and delivered it to them, the cooks came out. I never forget it. Mm-hmm. One of the cooks was a woman. As a matter of fact, she was the first one that opened the package to take out the food. And they begin to deride me. Where were you so long? Amen. We've been waiting. So, brethren, the divine order of God is broken in the church, and the church will not come to a place where they can receive the fullness of Christ and function in the world as God wants us to function until we get back God's divine order. Until you begin to follow the right apostolic vision, until you begin to see prophets of God come forth, until you the shepherds begin to shepherd under Christ, the teachers begin to teach the right word of God. Until then, we will not see the coming of Christ within. So the angel said, hold back, don't destroy, don't kill, don't wreck the world. Don't destroy the nations until we are sealed in our minds. But you know what? What I understand from God is that He can wait no longer. This is trouble. Trouble that I had a vision of Jesus, and He said, there'll be a great atomic war in the year 2008. 7 years ago, I got that. And it turns out to be that we are on the verge of 2008 now. And that all the nations, you see, that Satan has gone into the nations and lied to them. Satan is lying to China that they can rule the world. Satan is lying to the Muslims that they can rule the world.
Yes.
Satan is lying to the people that they can do this and that. And because of that, they are going to cause an atomic war. Amen. And I believe that the trigger is right where Iran is. And I tell you why I believe it is Iran. Because there are three places in the scriptures which tells us that spirits in the river Euphrates are going to lead. The 16th chapter of Revelation says that there are three spirits. First of all, in Revelation 9, it tells you of four spirits being loosed. Then further on, three spirits were loosed. And it said it was loosed upon the false prophet, as frogs coming out of their mouth, the Antichrist, and the beast. Amen. The beast is the man that is going to rule Europe. Amen. Rule the nations. The Antichrist is a... Amen. It's a Christian leader. Put it that way. Amen. The Antichrist is supposed to be in Rome, you know. Amen. But I tell you something. Antichrist spirits are amongst us. And I believe that they according to the description, hear me now, according to the description of the prophet to the Antichrist, he's got to be charismatic. Yes, because he was prophesying. Amen. So therefore it might be one of us. And you know what I mean when I say us. Amen. So here we are at the verge of time. And God is quickening a people to rise up. Amen. To rise up, you don't have to do anything but contact God. Just contact Him. Go home tonight. Say, God, hear what says. Is this true? Isn't that easy for you to do?
Yeah,
amen. And if it's true, brother, publish it. Let everybody know it's true. You hear something. Because if I am deceived, then it means that my deception is taking a lot of people.
Amen.
But if I'm not deceived, what a calamity.
Amen.
Yeah. What a calamity. Are we going to sit down and wait until the calamity falls upon us?
No.
My God, He sent three angels down into Sodom. And I don't know, but some angels have bodies.
Amen.
Maybe I didn't tell you that before. I went around it. Some angels have bodies.
Yes.
Yes. Where did Enoch's body go? Where did Elijah's body go? Where did Jesus' body go? That means there's a whole... You heard about Enoch and Elijah. He didn't tell you about the countless others. Oh yeah. A brother in New York told me, there was a sister that lived a holy life. He said she lived so holy that when she came in the congregation, you could feel the radiation of the Spirit of God upon the woman. She gave her whole life and whole heart to God. I said one day they were downstairs meeting. She came down and she told them all goodbye. She went upstairs and nobody ever seen her again. I believe that there are some saints that have been translated just like Enoch and Elijah. Of course, that's my belief. But God said that three men went to Abraham and that he killed a calf and gave them food to eat and they eat it. And I never heard of any angel eating food. So we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. When we were praying this morning and the Spirit of God was moving here, I saw one man here standing, holding our hands. Amen. Right here. Another one was out here and he quickly took off his medical coat. And he had on a blue shirt. Took off his medical coat. Maybe he was doing some healing. Some work. But praise be to God. Praise be to God that we can gather together in the name of Jesus, that we can feel the surge of the movement of God. Hallelujah. This is a move that God is moving through the whole earth. Upon special people. People who will listen to truth. Who will walk in truth. Who will allow the Spirit of God to minister to them. I'm coming to an end. And praise be to God. You know, I've preached for 5 hours straight. I think that's as, the Spirit of God take you and you just have such an energy that you would go through all night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God Almighty. Bless these people, I pray. Bless your people, Lord God. Don't let the enemy have his way in Tulsa, Amama, or in anywhere else. Raise up your standard against the devil and bring to pass the glory of God. I am, said the Lord God Almighty. Ashikumoya, I'll break your yoke. I'll set you free. Thank you, Jesus. I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. All these that I marked, we'll do them tomorrow, God's willing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.